I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. In just over 3 years, Egypt has gone through lots of leaders: a dictator, two presidents, a couple of military strongmen, and several prime ministers, all come and gone. And today, one more. The country's interim president appointed a Mubarak-era official as Egypt's next prime minister. Financial Times correspondent Borzu Daragahi is in Cairo. He says the resignation of Egypt's previous government surprised some, but wasn't completely unexpected.
The interim government has looked increasingly weak, ineffective to many people, and in many respects sort of unable to meet any of the challenges of the current time, either security-wise or economic-wise. Some of the ministers even were surprised. They heard on television that they had been canned, essentially. And other people that we talked to said that it was really the president and the military forcing this government to resign, because it really makes no sense. You're supposed to have a presidential election in maybe 1 or 2 months. So why change horses at this point?
Right. And today, a Mubarak-era construction magnate was chosen by Malab as the new prime minister. So just who is Ibrahim Malab?
He's in his mid-60s. He's a former member and a leading member of Hosni Mubarak's National Democratic Party, now dissolved since the 2011 revolution. And, you know, coincidentally, around this, just preceding this cabinet change, you had the real power in Egypt, the field marshal, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, heading to Russia and cozying up with Putin. So this just gives you an idea of where the government here is headed.
So what do the revolutionaries make of all of this?
To some extent, I would say, and many of the revolutionaries would say, that this is merely a rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, that there's not going to be much of a difference in who is in charge of this government, that they don't view legitimately anyway. But this does sort of diminish the hopes of those who had hoped that the country would move in a more democratic, inclusive direction.
Borzu, sometimes it's the little stuff outsiders would not notice that's revealing. What have you seen lately that seems to indicate where things are headed in Egypt?
I remember during the recent one of the trials of Mohamed Morsi, there was some children out there protesting against the Islamist government and in support of the military, and they had taped military boots to their heads as a sign of sort of subservience.
Wow.
To the armed forces. And you know, that just really struck me as really emblematic of the kind of spirit of conformity that is prevalent among many Egyptians, the worship of the military and the kind of submission of the self under the jackboot of the armed forces and their prevailing ideology.
For those who really feel the jackboot on their heads, what's it going to take to take that boot off?
Well, I think that many Egyptians are just so frustrated with the instability and chaos of the last 3 years, which incidentally, I think the military contributed a lot to it. They wanted to turn Egyptians off to the idea of democracy and liberalism for, you know, a very long time. So I don't think that they were an innocent party in much of the chaos that subsumed Egypt over the last 3 years. And, you know, anything and anyone that promises law and order is going to be accepted by the bulk of Egyptians who are just craving some stability and a resumption of the economy. The problem is that the formula for stability that the Egyptian authorities are presenting right now is the same formula that Mubarak used with such disastrous results: strong hand of the security forces, imprisoning people who don't agree with you. This is the kind of action that fueled the instability that led to the 2011 uprising, and indeed to all of the Arab Spring uprisings.
Borzu Daragahi of the Financial Times in Cairo. Thank you very much, as always, Borzu.
It's been a pleasure.